When the Wolseley engine fired and caught, Michael advanced the ignition until she settled to a fine, deep rumble. Then he listened to it critically for 30 seconds before he looked up at Mac, who was standing on the wing beside the cockpit, his hair and overalls fluttering in the wash of the propeller. "Lovely, Mac," he shouted above the engine beat, and Mac grinned. "Give them hell, sir," and jumped down to pull the chocks from in front of the landing wheels. Instinctively, Michael drew a deep breath, as though he were about to dive into one of those cool green pools of the Tugela River, and then eased the throttle open, and the big machine rolled forward. The knoll behind the chateau was deserted once again, but he had not expected anything else. He lifted the nose into the climb attitude, and then changed his mind, let it drop again, and brought her round in a tight turn, his wingtip almost brushing the tops of the oaks. He came out of the turn with the chateau directly ahead, and he flew past it at the height of the pink-tiled roof. He saw no sign of life, and as soon as he was past, he banked the SE-5A into a figure-of-eight turn and came around again, still at roof level. This time, he saw movement. One of the windows at ground level near the kitchen was thrown open. Someone was waving a yellow cloth from it, but he could not make out who it was. He came around again, and this time dropped down until his landing wheels almost touched the stone wall that enclosed Anna's vegetable garden. He saw Santan in the window. He could not mistake that dark bush of hair and the huge eyes. She was leaning far out over the sill, shouting something and waving the yellow scarf that she had worn the day they flew together to meet Sean Courtney. As Michael lifted the nose and opened the throttle to climb away, he felt rejuvenated. The placid and passive mood that had held him evaporated, and he felt charged and vital again. He had seen her, and now it would be all right.
"It was Michelle!"
Santan cried happily as she turned back from the window to where Anna sat on the bed.
"I saw him, Anna. It was surely him. Oh, he was so handsome. He came to find me, despite Papa."
Anna's face crumpled and reddened with disapproval. "It is bad luck for a groom to see his bride on the wedding day."
"Oh, nonsense, Anna. Sometimes you talk such rubbish." "Oh, Anna, he is so beautiful."
"And you will not be if we do not finish before this evening."
Santan fluffed out her skirts and settled onto the bed beside Anna. She took the antique ivory-coloured lace of the wedding dress into her lap and then held the needle up to the light and squinted as she threaded it.
"I have decided," she told Anna as she recommenced work on the hem of the dress. "I will have only sons, at least 6 sons, but no daughters. Being a girl is such a bore. I don't wish to inflict it on any of my children."
She completed a dozen stitches and then stopped.
"I'm so happy, Anna, and so excited. Do you think the General will come? When do you think this silly war will end, so that Michelle and I can go to Africa?"
Listening to her chatter, Anna turned her head slightly to hide her doting smile.